Hi there. Some feedback about Lesson 3 discussion. Lesson 3 allowed us to explore the cognitive and perception impact of trauma, and I was very pleased with how everyone chimed in and shared very specific examples of how this works, both on a deep scale and on a very surface scale, let's say, such as how we might all have a bit of this. Some people mentioned stuff like car accidents, stage fright, and these are really, really good ways for us to get our mind wrapped around how people might experience this. Brandy shared with us about her finding her friend in the woods. I can't imagine. I can only imagine what that might be like. There was a lot of mention about the military. I know that Stephanie started out with a discussion about the quote grunts that she experienced in the bar from the military base. And there's some discussion about the movie American Sniper and how that really brings to light some of these factors. A whole slew of you had personal experiences with people in your life who have had military experience. John and Angela, Sean, Christine, Chelsea, Amanda, and Michelle all commented about relatives and people they know. So just look at the impact of wartime and combat, not only on those individuals, but on you as well. You walk away having experienced vicariously the trauma that other people have experienced and how it's affected them. Jennifer and Haley were very open about, and some others too, were open about their own personal experiences, mostly centered around domestic violence, and I thank them for sharing that with the class. That really kind of hits home that this is not something that's always at arm's length. And in our clients, per se, it's going to be in our coworkers as well. And I think as these people share these stories, we get the sense that they're significantly distant and recovered, but at the same time, they still have these ongoing sensitivities that are there. These defenses, however, they might be a good thing that keeps these individuals from getting back into tied into the same sort of negative relationships. But as in many things, they can sometimes go too far, and it inhibits those people from sometimes enjoying, quote, normal activities. The psychological experience was sort of explored by a number of you. Wendy introduced the idea of this out-of-body experience, or what we might call dissociation, and how that helps people survive. And again, we're looking at these perfectly normal and appropriate defense mechanisms that help us survive the actual trauma event, but yet in the long term can sometimes become problematic. Amber brought out a very important aspect of the discussion, which warrants pointing out here. When people cannot participate in the events that mark time, such as the 4th of July, something that Amber shared with us, and how isolating that can be for that individual, and that furthers the sense that there's something maybe wrong with them, and when other people can seem to just brush it off and enjoy these events. How we react as workers and as friends and as family members and co-workers, how we react to that, to be careful and considerate about what people feel. We can't just ask people to brush this off and say, hey, it's not a big deal or anything like that. Personally, in my own family, the 4th of July actually, for very different reasons, represents not a good day in the family, in the my wife's family. My wife had a sister, Elizabeth, who died at age 17 from leukemia, and she died on the 4th of July. So that day is a day of mourning and remembrance, and it's not a joyful day. Playing in a band, we often play on the 4th of July, and it's not one of the gigs my wife comes to me with. Every once in a while, it has happened, but she's chosen that as a day to visit the gravesite and to sit with the memory of her sister. And that's obviously perfectly fine. Becky kind of brings in this idea, too, of for those of us who don't have personal experience with trauma, many of you shared personal experiences and people that you've seen, and you can attest to the, you know, what that might be like. But there are some, just like when we consider our empathy for mental illness or anything like that, we sometimes have to imagine what it might be like. And it's important for us to do that because we have to be able to develop a sense of understanding and empathy for the individuals that we deal with who may be acting out, but maybe acting out as a function of this overbearing defense mechanism that has occurred because of trauma. I don't see people who have experienced trauma as, quote, victims, per se. They still have responsibility to live in the world and to do whatnot. But I'm better able to manage my own practice when I can imagine or I can relate at least at some level to the experiences that somebody has had and how that might impact them. I think that's the real value of this topic. I do want to say this absolutely amazing group we have going on here, people sharing their own personal stories, and it's really enriches the class, and it really is the class. The book and the material is stuff that you can read, but I think the sharing that's going on is really significant, and I thank you all for that. So there's my feedback for Lesson 3 discussion, and thanks a lot